chapter 5 is where we'll be. What a blessing it is again to be in the house of the Lord. It's a great honor to be able to preach His Word. It's a great honor to have His Word written upon the table of thine heart. John chapter 5, look toward the latter part of the chapter. We're going to begin in verse 39, and we'll finish the chapter out in verse 47. The Bible says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Father, we pray a special blessing upon the reading of thy word tonight. Speak to our hearts, dear Lord, as we come before thee this evening. And I pray that you take your word, Lord God, and your mighty and wonderful message and apply it into our hearts, most importantly into our lives this evening. Let us draw nigh unto thee. In Christ's precious name, we do ask these things, Lord, that may be answered according to thy will, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated. Tonight, I would say, would be a simple thought, a simple message. And I want to cover a subject this evening that I've titled, that I believe is important to each and every one of us, which is the simple truth of serving the Savior, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who stepped off of eternity, took off the royalty of His kingship, and wrapped on the robe of flesh, and lived on this earth for 33 1/2 perfect sinless years, who went to the cross, was buried in the tomb, yet rose again and ascended on high, and was sat down at the right hand of the throne of the Father, said this simply in the last verse that we read tonight: "How shall you believe? How shall you believe my words?" Can I say this to you tonight, that the most important book, the history of mankind as well as the future, is the book, the Word of God? It is known as the Bible. I'm basically speaking, I understand tonight, to those that are saved and born again. I know that, realize that, and that's wonderful, and I believe that's who we should be preaching to tonight, given this topic this evening. Those who have spiritually signed the agreement, surrendered their eternal lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God Almighty, are those that should receive this message tonight with gladness, with thoughtful understanding, but with a tender heart, that they may understand the simplicity of serving Jesus Christ. And we're going to move around tonight. I mentioned this morning there wasn't much turning in the message, where we primarily stayed in John 20. I believe we turned once, maybe twice, but I do know one time. But tonight we're going to jump around the Scriptures just a little bit. Allow the Scriptures to answer the Scriptures, that you may better gather an understanding of the simple truth of serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By far, the most essential attribute in serving our Lord today is identical to the very attribute that it required in receiving our Lord, or receiving the Savior. The one key ingredient in the Christian's life of health, wealth, and wisdom is first and foremost to believe. Remember, Jesus Christ said, "How shall you believe my words?" Beloved, the healthy life of a Christian, the healthy life of a child of God, the healthy life of that person that is saved and born again, it begins and it ends with believing the book. Turn with me, if you will, holding your place there. Look over in one of Paul's epistles. Matter of fact, his first one written, 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2. I know typically I'll put these up on the screen for you. That saves us a little bit of time and a little labor, but we need practice of turning and searching the Scriptures. Amen. As we heard in our opening text, Christ said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." It is in the Scriptures that we find guidance, direction, that we find the leading of our life today. Everything that we need to know and how to function in this world today is found within the pages of the Scripture this evening. But you got to believe that tonight in order to receive the benefit of that. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2, looking at the 13th verse, the Bible says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." He says, "Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you," watch this, "that believe." When the word of God is preached, the most detrimental response in reacting to the preaching of the Word of God is to accuse the preaching of the Word of God as being the Word of man. Paul sums that up clearly, saying here, he says that you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Beloved, if you take that which the man of God is preaching as the word of man rather than the word of God, if you take it as the word of man, when and if that man fails, so does your belief system as well. But when you take the man of God that is preaching the word of God and you take it as the word of God and you believe the word of God and you put your faith, trust, and dependence in the word of God, if and when that man fails, then you are unmoved. Amen. You see, so many men today are preaching, and they are standing behind pulpits today, and they are preaching their own word, and they are having their own agenda. But the simple reason they do this, and listen carefully here, and I want you to hunker down, sink your heels down in your stirrups tonight, grab a hold of the bridle, if you will, and hold on, because I want you to understand the reason men preach their own agendas, their own ideas, their own thoughts, is because of their own unbelief. I already told you, I said the key ingredient to receiving, the key ingredient to having a healthy Christian life is believing the book. It's the same thing of getting saved. If you don't believe the book when you get saved, how did you get saved? Amen. It's all written in the book, salvation is. And sanctification of the Christian's life, the healthy Christian life, the healthy Christian that is growing in grace, growing in faith, growing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one that's believing the Word of God. So, When someone does not believe the Word of God, then we have certain elementary proofs, if you will. Some earmarks of unbelief, even from behind the pulpit, even sitting in the pews, even of those out in the streets today. There are some earmarks of unbelief. So number one, when one does not believe the book, the first thing they do is they criticize the book. Brother, when you believe the Word of God, you should not ever be able to talk against or speak against the Word of God. No, listen, let me tell you, let me go a step further. When you believe the book, no one should ever be able to talk you out of your belief. Hands down. No matter who may be speaking, no matter how sweet their tongue is, no matter what words they may say, I'm going to stand firmly tonight on the foundation of the Holy Scriptures, built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, you or any other army in the face of this planet will never talk me out of the inspiration of the AB 1611. I don't care what evidence you bring. It does not matter to me. I will not criticize this book. I will never criticize this book. Listen, if I look in this book and find out that I'm wrong about something I was preaching, amen, that's exactly what it was. It's not that the book was wrong. I was wrong, amen. Whether I like it or not. A Bible critic always places their own opinion higher than the opinions of God. I told you this morning, guys, this morning's message was joy unspeakable, full of glory. Tonight wasn't going to go down so smooth. I understood that, amen. But listen, a Bible critic places their own opinions higher than the opinions of God. And they say things like this. They say, "Well, that's your opinion." Well, that's one interpretation. The Bible says that the Scripture is not given for private interpretation. They say, "Well, you know, that works for you." No, it works for anyone that believes the book tonight. A Bible critic becomes a Bible corrector because all they do is they begin to correct the book. Beloved, the crowd today that assumes themselves to be smarter, more educated, more enlightened, more inspired, if you will, than Paul and Peter and John, they're only assuming to be smarter than God Himself. Look at Paul's response. Flip over to Galatians. Let me see. Flip back here a couple books. Flip over to Galatians with me just real quick. Galatians in chapter 1. Paul had an answer for those that decided to correct the Word of God. He had an answer for those that decided to criticize the preaching of the Word of God. Look what his response to this crowd was. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians in chapter 1. Look in verse 6 with me. Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. He says, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9 says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Guys, listen, that's a harsh statement, amen. I mean, he's saying let them be condemned to the depths of hell in judgment if they preach another gospel to you. As a matter of fact, Paul goes so far to say that if an angel from heaven comes and preaches something to you, he says, if we come to you and preach, Paul's even saying, I don't even trust myself. What if I lose my mind and I go absolutely bonkers and become nuttier than an almond tree and I come start preaching some kooky gospel? He said, let me be accursed. Amen. Paul, it doesn't put up with a Bible corrector. Notice with me, if you will, thirdly, that the people that correct the Bible, the people that criticize the book, they eventually condemn the book. It's what is commonly missed by those that believe not the book, is that they're only hurting themselves, my friend. Those that agree with them, look with me over in 2 Peter. I know I'm getting you to turn here, guys. We're getting good practice tonight, having a bit of sword drills. We'll eventually have races sometimes and chocolate candy for those who can get to the book the quickest and the fastest. Amen. But those that condemn the book, what they commonly miss in their own life is that they quit believing the book, but they're only hurting themselves and those that continue to believe them. 2 Peter in chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look with me if you will. Down toward the end. Let's look, see where we are. Yeah, look in verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 16 says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction, he says. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen, he says. Beloved, people who criticize the book, correct the book, condemn the book, are merely destructive souls who will only complain about the Bible. And they don't agree, they don't accept the authority of the Word of God. And my friend, that's why they hang their hat on so many lies, and they're so angry toward the Word of God today. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 20, He says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Our text tonight in John chapter 5 was the introduction and the testimony of the Father to the Son. And Jesus Christ has a cross reference here, Matthew 7, saying that he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, it's he that is able to go into the kingdom of heaven. It is he that receives eternal life, if you will. But he also says, wherefore by their fruits you may know them. If we were to walk out of the front of the church here out onto Davis Street, and we were to turn right and we were to look there to where the cemetery is, and then all of a sudden there's this nice, big, huge fruit tree with these massive navel oranges hanging off of it. Now that would be nice, because I love navel oranges. They're sweet. But if I looked at those things and I said, this is strange, number one. But number two, there they are. And I said, let me reach up there and let me grab one of those peaches. Well, you'd think I'm a lunatic, wouldn't you? You'd say, Pastor, that's not a peach tree, that's an orange tree. Guess why? Because I can see the fruit. Man? Now, there are some fruit farmers that can look out on their orchard, and they can tell the certain shape and direction of the plants and the leaves and all this, and they can tell a Murcott orange different from a navel orange, different from another type. They can tell the differences in the shape of the leaf. But to the common person, we know by the type of fruit that grows there. Amen. We know when it comes off the tree that a Murcott orange and a navel orange are two different types of oranges. As a matter of fact, we can go as far as to say that the west coast of the United States of America produces what's called sun-kissed oranges, okay? And they're dry, they're tart, they're nasty, nothing anyway. That's from California. What do you expect? Amen. In the land of fruit and nuts, and their fruit's not even that good. So, but then you get down into Florida, amen. I'm picking, guys. I am. Just settle down. You get down into Florida and you have Valencia oranges. And oh, they're juicy and they're sweet. They're just so moist. They're good. We know the difference. You and I look at it as an orange is an orange. But we can look at the different colors of the peel and the shape of the orange and say, that's a Valencia orange. That's a sun-kissed orange. Jesus Christ is saying the same thing about those and the fruit that they produce in this life, my friend. And you may never verbally oppose the scriptures, but in our life, my friend, in our life, if we don't live by the book and live according to the book, we're denying it just in our own actions. If you do not believe the book tonight, you cannot produce others that will believe the book. The old saying is true, that a liar produces liars, prideful produces prideful, infidelity produces infidels, doubters will only produce doubters, despisers will produce despisers. That's just the way it is. And they're not going to get away with not believing the book. No one is going to get away with denying the Holy Scriptures. Jeremiah 23 verse 28 starts off saying, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell the dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, like as a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. No, that's not Sunday morning smile and happy verses, but it's in the Bible. And God is not happy with those that steal His words, pervert His words, and change. Think about it this way. Think about it with me. So many people, pastors included, and preachers, missionaries, all of this, they have their children will turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ, and they sit back and they don't understand why. Yet these men or these families or whomever it may be, from the preacher in the pulpit, or the people sitting in the pews, they sat in the church speaking or listening to someone correcting the Word of God every time they mounted the pulpit. This word shouldn't be there. And older and better manuscripts reveal that this should say that. Or this is an inferior word, and it really should be this particular word. And let me tell you what that really means. That's one of my favorites to hear. Amen. Let me expound this word to you, and just, you know, because this word right here shouldn't be there. What do you expect? What do you expect that the children are going to do? What do you expect? I mean, they have no faith in the Scriptures. They don't believe the Scriptures, yet they're trying to tell people to get saved and born again, but they don't believe the Scriptures that are written where it tells us how to get saved and born again. They have no faith in the Scriptures and in His Word when men do these things, and therefore they just stop believing at all. Amen. I can't tell you how many emails and phone calls that I get on a regular basis from across the world, and I have men tell me, I just don't know what to do with my son, my daughter. They left church. They don't believe the book anymore. Listen, my kids I've said this time and time again, these four may go plumb nuts. They may go haywire and leave the church and never set foot back into it when they become 18 years old or 20 or whatever. Now, I pray God that doesn't happen. I pray nightly and daily for the Holy Spirit of God to rest in their hearts and to lead them in the direction that God wants them to go. But they'll never be able to say, I don't believe the book because my dad didn't believe the book. They'll never be able to sit back and say, well, you know what, I don't have faith in the book because my dad corrected the book. I've never corrected one comma, not one colon, not one period in the Holy Scriptures. And by God's grace tonight, I'll never do that. Amen. And I emphasize by God's grace. We wonder why in the world that we have issues like this in the world, why society doesn't believe the book. Meanwhile, Christians are sitting back here bickering over this and bickering over that because they just simply don't want to believe what the Scriptures are written. Well, guys, listen, if John 21 doesn't belong there, tell me if John 3 doesn't belong there as well. I mean, if you want to take out Acts chapter 8, verse 36, take out the whole book of Acts. Just throw it all in the rubbish. I can tell you right now, if this book right here, if I didn't believe this book, I would close it up, never open it a day in my life again, and I would go live in this world the way of whatever felt good. In the book of Judges, we find that there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which is right in his own eyes. That's what happens when you have not an authority. I'm not an authority of the Word of God, because it's not mine. I'm the authority in my home with my children, because they're mine. God gave them to me as a responsibility to be for His reward. I'm responsible for that. I am not the authority of the Word of God, nor will I sit in a seat to be one. I'm just going to believe it. It's worked out pretty good so far, amen. Believe the book tonight, guys. John chapter 8, if you're there, flip over. John chapter 8, verse 47. Whew, it's getting warm in here. But this time last week, you didn't think I'd ever hear me saying that, did you? I told Jason this morning, I said, hey, brother, I can feel my toes, man. That's good. John chapter 8, verse 47, the Bible says, He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Guys, it's that simple tonight. Just believe the Word. Just believe the book. You can do it. Just believe the book this evening. I'm not going to sit under anyone that's going to criticize and correct the book. I ain't doing it. I'm not going to do it at all. I was going to preach a message on foundations tonight out of the book of Psalms. The Bible says that the foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do? There's 9 foundations I was going to preach on this evening. One of those foundations is the book is what it is. You take the book away. Guys, look, things that are different are not the same. Amen? I wear a size 13 shoe. My Darius wears a 14. David wears the 13. Daniel wears the 13. You know what we're not wearing? 8s. An 8 is not a 13. Amen? 2 plus 2 equals 4. I loved it when I was staying with Brother Jason. I got to tell the story. I'm sorry. And she told me to. She gave me a thumbs up. I'm kidding. But I took my boots off at the door when I was staying with Jason and Helen one year. And not a whole year, but one time I was over here. And I had my boots sitting there at the front door and up against the wall where the shoes go. And Jason's was right next to there. And I think we'd all came up to get some coffee. And Helen went, "Oh, isn't that cute? Looks like father and son." And we have big feet in our family, amen? But you know, all joking aside, guys, things that are different are not the same. I know that's deep science, but it's just not. An 8 is never going to be a 13. It's just not going to happen. 2 plus 2 is never going to equal 5 on any planet whatsoever. Unless you're a Democrat in the United States. Maybe that happens then. Guys, you know, again, I'm trying to be a little facetious and bring a little bit of fun. But it's a very serious, serious, serious topic tonight. The key is believing this book. It's not good enough just to believe, okay, John 3:16, I'm saved, I'm born again, and then just stop there. Because this is your health of a Christian life right here. Health in Christian living is in this book. And just as much as you believed it when you bowed your heart and asked Christ to save you, it's just how much you need to believe it as you live your life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, when you believe the book, and I'll move headlong quickly now. Turn over to the book of Acts. I'll get you there in a hurry. When you believe the book, that's when you can start to build. Look in Acts with me in chapter 20. When you believe the book tonight, that is when you can begin to build in your life. You can begin to build. Look at Acts chapter 20 and look at verse 32. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, it says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able," watch this, "to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." That word sanctified means separated, means holy, means cleansed. Separated unto the Father's youth. What's the key in building? Well, what's the key in building? If we were going to go out back and build a building, what's the first thing we got to have? Exactly, a foundation. Paul said, "Other foundation can no man lay than that which that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Remember, the key to a building is its foundation. The key to any type of construction project is making sure that you're on a sure and solid foundation. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 with me tonight. Sword drills, chocolate for everyone who gets there quickly this evening. The key to the building is the foundation. The foundation is building is believing the Scripture. The ingredient to belief is to believe the book. Matthew chapter 7 and looking in verse 22. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22. And we've already read one of these Scriptures tonight. Verse 22 says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended down, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended down, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Guys, listen, if you're not building upon a solid foundation tonight, if you're not building upon a solid, firm foundation, a rock, if you will, when the storms of life fall your way, there's going to be a great fall. Family, your friends, and your faith. Jesus Christ says, "He that heareth these sayings of mine." What are the sayings of Christ? It's His Word. Where is His Word? It's in our hands. It needs to be in our hearts. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." In order to build, you have to have a foundation. In order to build, you have to have a floor plan. I had a friend of my dad's. He was one of our teachers in our school, and my dad was a teacher, and he had moved to another school. And he called my dad up one time and he said, "Hey, listen, Bill, I want to build this house. Can you help me out?" My dad's always been able to build things. He's kind of a jack of all trades and can do all these different things. And he said, "Sure, I'll come over there." And he comes over his house and he says, "Where's the plans? How do you want to do this? How are we going to do it out?" And he opened up a piece of paper, and he had taken a pencil and he had hand drew what he wanted. All right, it was basically a cartoon. He should have used a crayon. Amen. No building plans, no foundation, no measurements, no nothing. He goes, "I want to build this right here." My dad looked at him like he had three heads. He goes, "You can't do that. You've got to have a floor plan. You got to know which direction you're building in. You got to know the measurements. Hey, listen, you know, you got to measure twice, cut once, as the old saying is. We've got to have a floor plan." Paul exhorted Titus to teach young men. Titus chapter 2, verse 7, you can read it from up top. He says, "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Beloved, we have been given a book tonight to believe, that has laid the foundation and has set the floor plan for our life, given us the pattern that we need to live with the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve Him with these simple truths. The foundation and the floor plan enables you and I to finish. Jesus Christ said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." Beloved, when you believe the book, you can begin to build. And when you begin to build on the solid rock foundation of the book, it prepares you. Most important part right now, probably the biggest failure of our life today, is a lack of preparation. It prepares us for the battle. Last time I asked you to turn to the book of Ephesians, you probably know exactly where we're going. I thought it was interesting to find in the Scriptures throughout the studies that the word battle is in the Bible 163 times. But guess how many times it's mentioned during the church age? It's only mentioned one time during the church age. And the fact of the matter is, in the midst of our life tonight, in the midst of the church age that we live in, Guys, the war is won. The battle is won. Or the war is won. But the fight is a struggle in our life. The battles that we have in the world we live today is against Satan. It is against the dark forces of this world. It is against sin. And it is the things of this life. But it is a fight. And we must be able to fight. Paul had told young Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Guys, listen. If you can fight a good fight, by indication simply, it means you can fight a bad fight. We need to fight the good fight of faith. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Like I said, you probably know where we're going. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now listen, that word wiles means methodology. Okay? The wiles, it used to be used in common language. But the wiles is the method. It's the methodology. We're not ignorant to his devices. We're not ignorant to what he would do. He says we're able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, he says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Beloved, I want you to understand here, verses 14 through 18, loins girt about the truth. Do you know what kind of weapon that is tonight? That is a defensive weapon. That is a weapon of protection, having your loins girt about with truth. Having yourself fastened in nice and tight. Loins girt about with truth. Where is the truth? It's in the Word of God. It's a defensive weapon. He goes on to say there, having the breastplate of righteousness. Guess what the breastplate of righteousness is? Another defensive weapon. It's a defensive weapon to protect you, to protect the vital organs of your heart here. The breastplate of righteousness. It is the banner that we wear, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having your feet shod means that you're able to move quickly about what the gospel, having an answer ready to every man that asks of the hope that lieth within you. Feet shod in the preparation of the gospel. Guess what? That's a defensive weapon again. Being able to move from the fiery darts of the devil. Being able to move over here and take another road in defending the gospel of Christ, the gospel of peace. He mentions the shield of faith. That's what the shield is. Another defensive weapon. I can picture as Paul is writing this here, he's looking at that Roman soldier that he's chained to, and he's looking at his shield, and it wasn't this dinky little shield, like a little Captain America type little thing, but it was a shield that would almost cover the entire body as they would stand like this. That Roman centurion, they would come together, especially the Praetorians, they would come together, and they would put those shields together, and they would be an armament to protect from sword and from arrow. Defensive weapon. Shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. And I went a little bit early. The helmet of salvation. What is it? It's a defensive weapon. What does it do? It protects your head. It protects your thoughts. Amen? That which comes into your mind. That which comes out. But it all comes back around to where it started. The sword of the Spirit. Which is what? Word of God. We sang Hold the Fort this morning. And I said earlier, I said grab your swords. Why not say sword? Because that's what this is. This is a sword. This is the Word of God. It's not a defensive weapon. This is the only offensive weapon we have. Now the Bible speaks of prayer in the same chapter. And prayer, my friend, is where the battle occurs. It's a spiritual battle. It is all preparatory. It's preparing us. It's both defensive and offensive at the same time. But in the midst of us wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places, my friend, God has given us the weapon of choice. And it's the Word of God. Satan took Jesus Christ out in the wilderness and up on the high mountains. What did he do? Jesus didn't stop and pray. Jesus didn't do anything crazy. He says, as it is written. As it is written. As it is written. It was the Word of God that Jesus Christ fired back at Satan with. Eve tried to do the same thing, but she added something to the Scripture. Look at the mess that they got in. Right? See, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. I'm chasing a bit of a rabbit right now, but just stay with me. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. God commanded Adam. He said, of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not freely eat. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Period. Amen? Genesis 3, half a chapter later, Satan shows up, looks down at Eve, she's eyeballing that tree, that was her first mistake, and we'll get into that in another message. And he says, yea, hath God said, thou mayest freely eat every tree in the garden. You know what the devil does? The devil puts a period where God puts a comma. Or the devil puts a comma where God puts a period. You see, that's important for you to understand, because God did say, thou mayest eat of every tree, but he didn't stop there. Can't eat that one. Eve backs up and says, hey, whoa, wait a second. We can eat of every tree in the garden. But the day that we eat of this tree here, the day we eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, neither shall we eat of it, neither shall we touch it. You know what she did? She added to the Word of God. Just as wicked as taken away from the Word of God. Just as bad as saying, well, that word shouldn't be there. Let me give you a better word. Well, that scripture shouldn't be there. Let me give you no, sir. The very thing that got us in the mess we're in today and transgressing the law of God was that which happened in the very beginning with Eve. She changed the scripture. She added to the scripture. You see, my friend, I'm here to tell you this evening that if we're going to be prepared for the battle, it starts with our belief tonight. Let me ask you this right now. How many of you ever had a bad day? We all have. Doesn't the Bible say in the book of Hebrews, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee? That's good to say, boy, on those bright and sunny, shiny days when the birds are chirping. But when the storms of life hit, did you ever sit back and question that? Listen, I'm not trying to set you up. It's difficult at times, I understand, through troubles and trials and tribulation of this life. But the bottom line is, Christ is always going to be there. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what we're going through. And tonight, you better believe that. That's the battle. Satan wants to say, see, he doesn't have anything to do with you. The accuser of the brethren, according to Revelation chapter 3, he's up there night and day accusing the brethren. Accusing, look what he did, look what he did, look what he did. God the Father says, what are you talking about? Because God the Son's our mediator, saying, yep, but look what I did. You see, my friend, it all stems in belief tonight. Believe in the book enables you to build and prepare for the battle of your life in this world. And don't fool yourself this evening. There is a battle in this life. Don't fool yourself and think that it's not a battle. And I'll tell you about the battle here that I'm finished. General Douglas MacArthur, our hero for many, many boys and girls growing up in the world. Douglas MacArthur said, there are no substitutes for victory. And there isn't. You either win or lose. Hands down. There is no substitutes for victory tonight. But your victory in this world today, your victory in good Christian health, wealth, and wisdom, the Christian growth in grace, Christian growing in to the Lord, growing closer to God and living a life that is fulfilling for Him tonight and bringing glory to Him, it all starts with one simple act. And that's believing the book tonight, so that you can build upon the foundation with His floor plan according, so that you can finish the course that God has given you. It starts with building. It starts with belief. It goes into building, which enables us to have the victory in the midst of the battle. Very simple truths tonight. Very simple truths in serving the Savior in this world. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the blessed night, opportunity, and time that You've given us to be together. We pray this evening that we would hear from heaven, dear Lord, that we would not just soon close out the message in our hearts and our minds, but we would take, Lord, that which was preached this evening, Your Word tonight, apply it into our hearts. Father, if any of us have been guilty of criticizing or correcting the book, condemning the book, I pray, dear Lord, tonight that we would repent. We would ask You forgiveness. Lord God, we would repent and bow our hearts and ask forgiveness of where we have failed You, dear Lord. Father, if any of us have been guilty of that, Lord, I pray this be the last night. Help us put our undying faith in the written Word of God. That there be no substitute to the victorious battle that we can face in this world today because of the faith we have in the Scriptures this evening. So, Lord, we love You and we thank You for all that You've done. Father, I thank You for who and what You are. And I give You glory, honor, and praise, and ask You tonight to guard each and every one of our hearts. The devil's going to be on a rampage. Oh, Father, he's going to say things like, oh, well, you know, that really doesn't mean this. He's going to say all these kind of things, just like he did in the beginning. Father, I pray that our knowledge in the Scriptures would increase, that we'd be able to withstand the devil. having the whole armor of God on, defending our stance on the Word of God, but attacking with the Holy Scriptures, that we may have the victory. Father, we love You and we thank You. We ask all of these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom we give glory and honor. Bless us now, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.